This will take us 5 weeks, and tonight, basically kind of an introduction. Next 3 weeks will be, I'm excited about sharing those, especially. Of course, next Sunday night, we won't have regular service. We're going to have that prophecy video conference, and I'm planning on starting one around 6:30, so if you can't make it in the afternoon, but you'd like to come for one, we'll do one at 6:30 next Sunday night about that time. I'll try to stick, get as close to that as possible. And looking forward to that. So thank you, Glenn. Is there a reason for our suffering? We have questions about suffering, and hopefully we will answer those questions, at least some of them. In the next few weeks, would you turn your Bible tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10? This is really the key verse for the whole study. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let's pray. Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us as we consider the words of your words to through the Apostle Peter tonight and for other scriptures. Lord, give us courage to be able to face affliction and suffering. Lord, that we would have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, that through suffering, he would know you better. And Lord, whatever comes into our life, that you would teach us more about yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two questions that have people confused and bewildered. And you've heard these questions. You may have had these questions yourself. One is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And the second is, why does God allow good things to happen to bad people? We're often confused when it seems that good things are happening to godless people, and we wonder, why do they seem to be blessed? Why don't they seem to have problems? And on the other hand, what we consider bad things happening to godly people. Wondering, why does the godly person have to suffer? Why are they going through these trials and tribulations? Let me try to give you an answer to those questions. As for the reason why God allows good things to happen to bad people, the explanation is one word: mercy. God is merciful. There's no other way to explain it. He is a merciful God. Jesus said he makes his sun to shine on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. As for the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good, godly people? The answer is the word ministry. To give you a ministry. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, Peter tells us that God has a ministry in our suffering when he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called unto us his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, this is where he gives you a ministry. He makes you perfect, he establishes, he strengthens, and he settles you. I gave this illustration before. I think it's good for us to consider again. Someone has said that a bar of steel is worth $5. When it's wrought into horseshoes, it's worth $10. When it's made into needles, it's worth $350. If wrought into penknife blades, it's worth $32,000. And if it is wrought into springs for watches, it is worth $250,000. You see, the more steel is manipulated, the more it's worked over, hammered, beaten, pounded, polished, the greater the value. Same thing in the Christian life. The more God works us over and sends us through trials and tests, we come forth as pure gold. We have a ministry. God uses suffering in our lives. And it's through suffering that Peter says God perfects or makes you mature. It's through suffering that he establishes you. He gives you a voice. He gives you a platform. He gives you a ministry. It's through suffering that we are strengthened and our faith becomes steadfast. We become settled in it. When we see God providing for us in the midst of trials and tribulations, our faith in him is increased. The greater value we become to the Lord. God uses suffering in our lives. As one said, Christians are like tea. Their real strength is not drawn out until they get into hot water. And that's true. You ever tried to make tea with cold water? You don't get the flavor, do you? Only when the tea bag is put in the hot water does the flavor come out. And that's true of the Christian. The real flavor comes out of the Christian. What we're really made of, what's really inside of us, comes out when we go through the hot fire of tribulation. Now, Peter has a lot to say in his book about suffering. And in the book of 1 Peter, in one form or another, the word suffering is found no less than 15 times. 15 times, and 8 different Greek words are used by Peter to describe suffering. I'm not one that really loves research. You know, I enjoy it when I find a truth or something. But after looking at these 8 different Greek words that Peter uses to describe suffering, I became excited about that. And I think you will be as you discover some of these truths in the next few weeks yourself. But one great truth that emerges from all of this is that he says that there is a reason to our suffering. You are not suffering just for suffering's sake. There is a reason to our suffering. And Peter explains that God uses suffering in our life to accomplish certain things in our life that he would not be able to accomplish any other way. When Peter wrote to the recipients of the letter, he wrote both to encourage and to enlighten them. And that's my twofold goal through this series, is to encourage you as you're going through suffering, that you would be encouraged because you realize that there's a reason for the suffering. And as you experience what those reasons are, you'll become excited about that because it has a purpose. And then also, not just to encourage you, but to enlighten you, to give you some truth that maybe you hadn't thought about before. So he wrote to encourage the believers that were suffering as well as to enlighten them as to the purpose of their suffering. And the great question that is answered by Peter is, why does God let people suffer? Have you ever heard anybody ask that question? Why does God allow people to suffer? You'll have an answer for them. Now, for a few weeks, again, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 and the reasons why God allows his people to suffer. Tonight, we're going to lay the foundation to those reasons. And we're going to think about what Peter has to say about suffering throughout the letter of 1 Peter. So first of all, let's consider the different expressions of suffering. Number one, the different expressions of suffering. Peter says there are various reasons why people suffer. So let me draw your attention to 4 of those ways in which people suffer. First of all, Peter spoke of how one can suffer legally. Legally. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, Peter writes, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." So he's saying that there are some legal reasons for suffering comes as a result of punishment for crimes that are committed. Some people are suffering today because they have committed some crime. They have broken some law. They have trespassed in some sense, and they are paying for those crimes. When I was in Bible college and I had come home for a basketball game and I had broken my glasses, and unfortunately I could not get them fixed and I had to drive back to Minneapolis with no glasses. I happened to get picked up for speeding, going 50 in a 35 mile an hour zone, and I got two tickets, one for speeding, one for not wearing my corrective lenses. I was suffering, but I was suffering because of something that I had done. I was suffering legally. I had broken the law. And Peter says that don't, as believers, don't suffer legally. Don't break the law. Commit some crime. And he's reminding us that there are consequences to crimes such as murder and theft. Both the law of the Lord and the law of the land require that there be punishment. There's consequences for breaking those laws. What's that saying? If you do the crime, be willing to pay the time. Now, under the Mosaic law, there were severe consequences to the committing of crimes. And I think it gives us the principle that God expects that there are consequences for breaking both His law and the laws of our land. Second reason why people suffer is that they sometimes suffer unjustly. Unjustly. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. The word wrongfully there means unjustly. There are some people tonight that are suffering unjustly. I think about that Christian there in Iran, the pastor whose final verdict is he's going to be put to death. Don't know when it'll happen, but he's been condemned to death. He is suffering unjustly. He is suffering because he is a Christian. He is suffering undeservedly. One of the greatest, I think, inventions that they have come up with here in recent years is DNA testing. And how people who they thought committed crimes through DNA testing or find out they didn't commit the crimes. And some people have even been released from prison after they have found that they were not guilty. But there were some that were suffering unjustly. Sometimes we find ourselves suffering at the hands of others without cause. They really don't have a reason to make us suffer, no legitimate reason. But we can find ourselves to be the object of someone's scorn, their wrath, and we suffer wrongfully. We suffer unjustly. When people lie about us, criticize us, malign us, attack us, and there's no merit to it. Peter describes it as being suffering wrongfully. A third expression of suffering that Peter describes is suffering spiritually. Spiritually. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Also in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, we read, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And sometimes the second one and the third one here, the expressions of suffering can run together and overlap. Again, that Christian there in Iran. And here, though, specifically, Peter's describing a suffering that comes as a result of one's relationship to Christ and their stand for righteousness. The history of Christianity is a story of those who suffered for righteousness' sake. As we put on the drama for the Living Last Supper, we talk about how all those disciples suffered martyrdom, most of them, crucified on crosses, crucified upside down. John boiled in a pot of boiling oil. All of these suffered spiritually. They suffered because of their stand for Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And so many Christians suffer simply because they have a relationship with Christ. Many of them pay the ultimate price, giving their lives. And there's a fourth expression of suffering described by Peter, and that is suffering divinely. Suffering divinely. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." I want you to notice that Peter speaks of suffering that is according to the will of God. Peter is telling us that suffering can be part of God's plan, can be part of God's purpose for our life. I am of the persuasion that nothing can happen to us unless it passes through the hand of God. God has to give his stamp of approval on it. It's filtered through his will. One can suffer legally, unjustly, and spiritually. It's also possible that suffering is allowed and appointed by God. Suffering can be sanctioned by God. Suffering can be God's will. Now, there are different expressions or different kinds of suffering. And I'm not saying that that's all God's will. But I want us to look here and see that another lesson that we can learn about suffering from Peter is the different experience of suffering. Or the definite experience of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Peter uses the words fiery trial to speak of suffering. The word fiery is a description of a smelting furnace. Gold is heated in such a furnace and it's refined. And Peter says that our trials are as one going through the fire, a fiery trial. He describes these trials and explains that suffering is experienced in the Christian life. It's experienced in the Christian life. Peter says, "Think it not strange when fiery trials come into our life." The words "think it not strange" literally mean stop thinking it a thing alien to you. In other words, don't think it's some bizarre, unusual thing to suffer as a Christian. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when fiery trials come. It's natural. It's a part of the Christian life. Just because you're in a church or living for God doesn't mean that you won't ever have to suffer. If you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you are immune from suffering. A lot of people think that, and then when suffering comes, they don't know quite how to handle it. They're disillusioned with the Christian life. Some of the best Christians I know have suffered. I mentioned the martyrs of the church. They were among the best. Even in the face of death, they refused to deny their faith. Think of Job. You talk about a good Christian. Here's Job. Satan came to God one day, and God says about Job, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is perfect and upright. He's one that fears me and eschews or hates evil. Have you considered my servant Job? And Job became the standard bearer of suffering, didn't he? Whenever we think of somebody who suffered, we think of Job. And sometimes we kind of tongue-in-cheek say, I'm having a Job day. But none of us have ever had a day as bad as Job had. But as a godly man, he was experiencing suffering. So don't think it's strange if you have to suffer. Peter tells us that suffering is going to be experienced in the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. Then he takes the subject of suffering further and tells us that not only is it experienced, but we should expect it. It's expected in the Christian life. Notice again, 1 Peter 4:12, that he speaks of the fiery trial, which is to try you. Which is to try you. And it does not say that it may try you. The trial which may try you, but which is to try you. You shouldn't think it's strange when suffering comes. We should expect suffering to come. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. What is Job talking about? He's talking about trials. Various trials. And he does not say, if you fall into trials. He says, when? It's not a matter that suffering will come or not. It's just a question of when it will come. Benjamin Franklin is the one that said, there are only two things certain in life, death and taxes. We could add a third. You can add suffering to those certainties. Suffering comes in various ways and at various times, but it will come. It's experienced in the Christian life, and it's to be expected. Now, this raises a question that I want to answer over the next few weeks. Why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow His people to suffer? Is there a reason for our suffering? And Peter answers that question. And let's just consider one of these points to the night. And this is number three in your outline, the divine effect of suffering. The divine effect of suffering. In 1 Peter 5:10, Peter sums up all that he has been saying about suffering by saying, but the God of all grace, which hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He says that there is a divine result. There's really three there. To make you perfect, to establish, or really four. To make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So his words speak to us of the divine purpose of suffering. Because of the suffering, Peter tells us that after we have suffered, God brings certain things to pass in our life. This is encouraging because it means that suffering is not without rhyme or reason in our life. There is a cause and an effect. There is a cause. There is a reason for suffering, and that reason is to bring about certain effects. 1 Peter 1:6, Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I know this might be a lot to ask, but through the study, when we get out on the other end of it, I know that the Holy Spirit will have really brought this home to us if we can actually thank God in the midst of the trial. Not afterwards, but as we see the reason for suffering, the reason why God allows us to go through these things, if we can thank Him. As Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Even though there is going to be heaviness, there's sorrow, Because of these manifold temptations, these different kinds of trials, we realize that there's a purpose, there's a reason. Notice carefully the words, if need be. Though now for a season, if need be. Peter's telling us that certain needs in our life are only met for suffering. It's not that God wants to put suffering on us. He says it needs to be. I need to do this for you. So you remember that Peter spoke of suffering as a fiery trial. Fiery speaks of a smelting furnace in which gold is purified. Someone has written, he sat by the fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore, and closer he bent with searching gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew he had ore that could stand the test, and he wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems of price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though he vain would said him nay. As he watched the dross that we have not seen, as he melted and passed away. And the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, and our eyes were so dim with tears, as we saw the fire, not the master's hand, and questioned with anxious fears. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow, as it mirrored a form above, that bent o'er the fire, though unseen by us, with a look of infinite love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause us a moment of pain? No, but he saw the present cross, the bliss of eternal gain. So he waited there with watchful eye, with love that is strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a bit more heat that did not make it pure. Reason for the suffering is for the dross to come up to the top, all the impurities, so God can wash it away and we could be pure gold for the master's use. In 1962, a book was published revealing a study of 413 famous and exceptionally gifted people. The book was called Cradles of Eminence. They spent years attempting to understand what produced such greatness in people. What common thread ran through all of these outstanding lives? Surprisingly, the most outstanding fact they found was that virtually all of them, 392 out of 413, had overcome very difficult obstacles in order to become who they were. God cannot make us who we are, who he wants us to be, without making us overcome some difficulties and going through some trials. In the Christian life, it's not just the overcoming of difficult obstacles, but it's going through difficult times that make us what we are and what God wants us to be. William M. Batten said in Fortune magazine, "When I hear my friends say they hope their children don't have to experience the hardships they went through, I don't agree. Those hardships made us what we are. You can be disadvantaged in many ways, and one way may be not having to struggle." When it comes to suffering, you might feel like Bob Hope, who said when he accepted a major award, "I don't deserve this, but then I have arthritis, and I don't deserve that either." You may feel like you don't have to suffer. You don't deserve the suffering, the trials that God brings into your life. But if you realize that God has a purpose in it, I really think that it'll change your attitude about it. The simple truth is, about suffering is that it's not about what we deserve anyway. It's really about what our Lord deserves. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does Jesus deserve? He deserves our praise and our honor. He deserves glory, and that's what our lives are to give him. And this is made possible through suffering. The end result of suffering is the glory and praise it will bring to Christ. And lastly, notice that Peter tells us there is the divine provision for suffering. And none of us would be able to learn what we need to learn and be able to go through the process of suffering if it wasn't for this last point. If it wasn't for the divine provision for suffering. Peter speaks of the God of all grace. The God of all grace. God will never allow you to suffer without giving you the grace to suffer. I often talk to people and say, I don't know that I could go through what they're going through. And I say, yeah, but God has not given you the grace to be able to do that. But God has been faithful to give them the grace that they need. He is the God of all grace. There's grace for all things. Whatever you are going through, there is a grace for that. Did you know that? Whatever trial you have, there is a grace for that. Whatever suffering you are experiencing, there is a grace for that. He is the God of all grace for however we suffer. Someone has said, your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. Your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. We need God's grace every single day. We need it in the bad days. We need it in the best days. We need the God of all grace. Here's a lesson that I want you to learn. There is a reason for our suffering. If you are suffering tonight, there is a reason for that. If you're going through a trial, there is a reason for that. There is a reason why. Here's the truth that I never want you to forget. God will give you grace in your suffering. God will never leave you to walk through the trial alone. He has promised to be there with you. He has promised to supply His grace. He is the God of all grace. If you would turn to Him, you would find the grace that you need to help you in your time of need. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? There are many ways that we should approach God. When we need healing, we can approach Him as the great physician. When we need forgiveness, we can approach Him as our Savior. When we are suffering, when we're going through a trial, we need to approach Him as the God of all grace. That is His name. That is His title. So if you are here tonight and you're going through a trial, you're suffering, why don't you call on Him tonight using that title, God of all grace. God of all grace, would you give me the grace that I need in this situation, at this time in my life? Be specific. God, I need grace too, and you fill it in. I need grace for this. He's the God of that grace. He's the God of all grace. If you're here tonight and you're not suffering, there's not a trial in your life, I want you to be prepared, because suffering is to be expected in the Christian life. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't think it's strange when it happens to you, but be ready. Be ready. be walking with the God of all grace. And then here's what else I want you to do tonight. If you're going through a trial, if you're suffering, ask God if he could reveal the purpose for that. I know he doesn't always reveal the purpose in our suffering. Sometimes it's not till afterwards. Sometimes probably not going to be till we get to heaven. But there is a reason. There is a purpose. I'm going to give you some reasons. I'm going to give you some purposes in the next few weeks. And just ask God to open your eyes and help you to understand from his perspective. Father, we thank you tonight that there is a reason to our suffering, and that gives us confidence. That gives us courage. We are not hopeless, but Lord, we are hopeful. We are hopeful. And we are joyous because we know that there are things that you are doing in our lives that you could not do any other way. I pray, Lord, for those that are going through a time of suffering tonight, I call upon the God of all grace to come and minister to them. Lord, help them to see that there is a ministry in this, that you are doing a work in them, a ministry in their heart and in their life, and a ministry that will come out of their heart and out of their life as a result of the divine purpose of suffering. God of all grace, give the grace that we need for our individual situations. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.